You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't gotta do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. Ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm getting no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, which will be pushing it up. Somebody say, you
Tiger Woods Week. More on that Tiger Woods Week. What do you think?
I've been pretty consistent on this.
You're a yes.
I think he's coming.
I was Googling last night, and I saw two pieces. One that said he absolutely was going to play Memphis, and one that said, no, he was skipping Memphis.
Yeah, welcome to golf media.
But he's got to decide by Friday. And at the last World Golf Championship, the one in Mexico, he'd never played that event before.
Indeed.
Right? He decided, or he's already decided. Or he may not have already decided. Some of this hinges on his health, his game, his everything, right? Whether he makes the cut. Now, there's all kinds of things that will go into this. So I don't know. Do you think he's decided? I think he has a preliminary decision made, right?
Yes, I think that's fair to say. But obviously, with Port Rush being Royal Port Rush, where the Open Championship will be this weekend, it's going to be fairly cold considering, and that seems to have been the number one factor in how his back feels this year. Is if it's been on the cool side, he's just never been able to heat it up. But as long as he's healthy, he has gone out of his way to play these historically.
Okay. So he's got to decide by Friday, but he, I thought, as I said,
which, by the way, that's always made me laugh.
Why?
Like, so yes, I understand the logic behind it. The logic behind it is so that, you know, this would make more sense for a regular 156 man field,
right?
Because if Tiger Woods elects,
someone else would come. Right.
Right. There's no reason. There's no alternates.
Yeah, you're right. There's no alternates.
There's not someone out there waiting to play.
I wonder if I can get my.
Right. Yeah. I want Tiger's spot. Like, if I'm Tiger Woods, I'd sit there and go, "Hey, go look at that nice driveway that y'all built out in Sawgrass, and I'll send you a bill for how much I've made on that." Just like how he is that entire golf tour.
Right. Yes.
The fact that they dictate to him?
I didn't understand that reference. Sawgrass, whatever.
So Sawgrass, TPC Sawgrass is where the PGA Tour is headquartered.
Right, okay.
They have a $20 million driveway.
I'm catching up to you now.
See, $20 million driveway.
A lot of us are not familiar with the driveways of the golf. Anyway, so he has to decide by Friday. But the last World Golf Championship event, it was in Mexico. The Mexican media reported on Tuesday that he was going. And then he acknowledged on the Wednesday before, that would be this Wednesday, the equivalent this Wednesday for the Memphis tournament, that he was going. So I expect to find out. Don't you expect to find out tomorrow or the next day?
Yes, I think it would make sense Wednesday, because if his press conference is tomorrow, I do not expect him to give anything.
You don't think he'll ask? No one will ask him about a schedule. Because
I do, but I think he'll go, I haven't decided yet.
Okay, then what? Then why would it come out Wednesday?
Because I think his media team, you'll see a TGR, Tiger Woods tweet or all social media. There will be a nice graphic in which Tiger invented controlling the message.
Right. So anyway, so this is going to happen. I'm okay either way, I've decided.
I'm not.
If it comes, it'll be absolute bedlam.
It'll still be great. It'll be
like,
awesome.
There are people who are tweeting me. I have a column up today, a nice, silly little column that you all helped me write about everything. We'll go over some of these things later. Everything Memphis, if anything hangs in the balance,
mm-hmm.
everything Memphis could offer him. A recruiting pitch to entice him to. And I refrained, just so you know, because there were two sorts of tasteless. I asked for comments. I asked for what should we offer him. What do you think the two themes of tasteless comments were?
So something along the lines of
two
female.
Two had to do with Tiger.
Yeah.
Actually, there were three themes. Two themes had to do with Tiger. One theme had to do with Memphis.
So the Memphis theme, something along the lines
of an armed guard.
I'll say bulletproof
right.
vest.
Bulletproof
right.
car, tank, like
right.
that. There was that.
Unbelievable joke there. Hang on.
And... yeah, there were those. It was hookers.
Whoa, come on. We never confirmed the H word. They were just...
okay, it was...
easy women.
What was the pancake place?
Perkins.
It was Perkins, mm-hmm. yes. There's a lot of Perkins references.
Right, does not stand there anymore. They've actually knocked it down, the Orlando's Perkins that was famous. But again...
These were not escorts. And
these,
then there was some pill jokes too.
Ah, yeah.
Access to Elvis's pill closet.
We're change men now.
I do believe in that people can change.
Oh yeah,
I do believe that. I'm 100. God, I hope so.
I think his short game proves that he's not addicted to painkillers anymore.
I hope so. So there were those, but I went with other stuff, nicer things that we could offer him.
You chose another path
to bring him here. And in response to this, I got a few people saying, yeah, I hope he doesn't come. I've enjoyed golf more without him. It's just going to make it a circus, whatever. Come on, seriously.
Yes, Jeff,
it will be a circus. You know what kind of circus it'll be?
The best.
The best kind of circus. You know what's going to happen?
Because it'll be Tiger Woods.
And people will get rich. You know, I mean, people will make money. The tournament will do better. The hotels will do better. The hospital will do better. Everyone will do better if Tiger comes.
Name someone that you know in your life that knows more about golf and appreciates golf for what it is more than I do.
John Martin.
Yes, of course.
John Martin.
Other than John,
you're the next biggest golf guy
right.
here. Yeah.
This idea that golf is somehow better without Tiger Woods is the most asinine thing I've ever heard. Because we saw what golf was like without Tiger Woods. Luke Donald is the world number one. Guess what? When Tiger Woods is in it, it's way more better because you either care that he wins or you want him to lose. Like, there is some type of reason to watch.
Yes, it's ridiculous. And it would be history. For him to come
yes.
to Memphis would be absolute history, and we should find out. Well, we will find out this week. I called it Tiger Woods Week. Hopefully next week is Tiger Woods Week, but this is the decision, as they say. Today on the show, Michael Wallace is going to join us. Mike Wallace, my Mike Chuck from Grind City Media. Shout out to Mike Wallace. He's coming up next, and it's going to be 7:25 in Las Vegas. That's kind of nuts.
Take that for data.
So, thank you to Mike for waking up. But the Memphis Grizzlies are on the verge of a championship, and some said it couldn't be done. They are on the verge of a championship tonight.
I told you it's like Cal used to say. You don't want to go undefeated, Jeff.
They
got to get that loss out of the way early.
They will play the Timberwolves for the title. Then we've got Baxter Holmes is going to join us. He wrote a really compelling series for ESPN about what youth basketball is doing to. The scourge of knee surgeries.
Yes, and, the amount of injuries is significant.
Unbelievably
yes.
significant injuries because of really important series. We'll talk to him about the NBA, right? NBA generally as well. And of course, we will get to the one story you've been waiting for. There were three big events that captured me over the weekend, transported me over the weekend, none of which necessarily did I expect to be transported by. And I will ask you to rank these events.
All right.
One, Memphis Grizzlies come back to defeat and win to go to the title game tonight. They're
knocked
down
off,
by a point.
Knocked off the Pels.
Knocked off the Pelicans. It's funny. There was a tweet from Kevin O'Connor saying it was so overheated. It was the amount of talent on the floor for the Pelicans and the Grizzlies. These teams are going to – there's a couple players for each team that are going to be a part of the future. But it was kind of nice seeing how overheated people were about these two young teams.
Amen.
So there was that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually, I didn't expect it, thrilling. It was thrilling, including down one, have to force a turnover. Brandon Clark comes over to double team. And then he gets
draws that travel.
Yeah, and then he gets the putback, and then he gets the putback dunk.
Off his own miss.
Off his own.
That was awesome.
Well, the truth of the matter is he was 7 for 10,
mm-hmm.
and two of his misses he put back. So really of the 10 times he shot,
yes.
9 times he scored.
Yes.
Just two of them, whatever. So Brandon Clark looked tremendous once again. 23-14, 7 of 10 shooting. This was after they got revenge against Boston. Before that, 18-12 game against Boston. There is no question that there are two takeaways right now to this summer league experience. One is, like, John Morant is into it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It feels like, and again, this is so premature, we'll ask Mike Wallace about it, it feels like they are building something. Right? It feels like they are growing something together. John Morant obviously can't play, but there feels like there's a certain esprit de corps, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
And chemistry and everything else. And
there's excitement because you actually want to see what this looks like.
Right. There's excitement from outside, from all of us, but I think there's excitement internally, too. Like, this feels like a... like they are starting to fuse together and build a – and you can imagine. Listen, there's no question. Oklahoma City has all those draft picks, and New Orleans has all those draft picks. The Grizzlies have Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant, and they got Brandon Clark. And right now, Brandon Clark is looking like the real deal and looking like he will be part of a trio of players who you can look forward to playing together for a long time. So that was number one, the Grizzlies knocking off the Pels to go to the championship tonight against the T-Wolves. That was transportingly thrilling. Second, didn't expect this, was Wimbledon. I used to be an absolute regular watcher of Wimbledon. Wouldn't miss Wimbledon. Wouldn't miss tennis. I don't really watch tennis anymore.
Well, I got news for you, Jeff. It hasn't changed very much in 15 years.
No, but when I say I used to, I'm looking at Connors, Borg.
Sure.
That used to.
The late 70s, early 80s.
More than ever. The whole Federer reign, I've never been an avid tennis watcher.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. It's better if there's an American.
Oh, yeah. There's no question.
It's better if there's an American. But.
In terms of us in general interest, yeah, there's no question.
Chuck Culpepper, who writes for the Washington Post, been on the show. He wrote a piece about the crazy day in London yesterday. The the cricket final also happened as England knocked off New Zealand.
Of course.
In a thrilling match. But he called Federer the world's home team, which I think is true. The entire world was rooting for Federer, except for maybe you.
No, I'm not anti-Federer.
Okay. That's fine. Hold any right. anti-Federer-ness. We're going to ban it from the program.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole world is watching Federer. Anyway, so I didn't necessarily...
Center court was definitely rooting for him.
I didn't necessarily expect that that I would be transported by this. But it was mesmerizing. Absolutely mesmerizing. As it's as if you can debate LeBron and Jordan, right?
Sure.
It's as if they're playing. Head-to-head. They're playing head-to-head, and on a one-on-one game that goes for 5 hours.
And the other guy, like the wilt or the cream of the conversation,
yeah,
Roger already beat him the day before.
Yeah, and
2 days before.
LeBron had to knock off Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or however you want to put there, Magic Johnson, in order to get there.
Yes.
And they're all playing at the same time. It's just staggeringly awesome. Jokovic is he goes up. He basically wins the three tiebreakers. That's it. Federer wins the other two, and so they go to the fifth set. First time it used to be that you would play forever
until someone wins by two.
Now they have a fifth set. First time ever they have a fifth set tiebreaker at 12 all.
Yes.
So at 12 all they go to the tiebreaker and Federer loses. Jokovic wins and that is that. So it is 20 Grand Slams for Federer, 16 for Djokovic, and
18 for Nadal.
And 18 for Nadal. It's just crazy. As someone said, the amazing thing about this is when they all retire, there are people who could make a reasonable argument for all three as the greatest player ever.
Yes,
If you want to be the Federer arguer for the greatest player ever, you can. If you want to argue for Nadal as the greatest player, you can muster that argument. And Djokovic, you can muster that argument.
Yes.
Among the things he would say on behalf of Djokovic is that he is the Federer killer. He has won the last five. He is 26 out of he is 26 and 22 straight up.
Mm-hmm.
He is 3-1 against him at Wimbledon. He is 10-6 against him in Grand Slams. And Federer yesterday had two match points on his racket. He was 40-15 serving for the match and lost. And that is something that Djokovic did to him in the semifinals of the 2010 and 2011 U.S. Open. He'd done it to him twice before in the U.S. Open. So that would be the argument there. But Federer was just then the extraordinary thing about the whole deal was after it was over to hear Roger Federer, like they've just played for, you know how we excuse basketball players or football players if after a tough loss they're not that gracious.
Yes.
Right? Because hey, what do you expect? They just lost.
And by the way, emotions were running high in this match. Like both guys at times, like as much as Roger Federer can lose his cool, I think I saw a drip of sweat go down his brow.
Right.
But both guys had moments where they were like hot.
Yes. It was in 5 hours of just riveting tennis. And then you go to Federer, and he says, screw you. No, he doesn't say screw you. This is what Roger Federer says.
Roger, thank you for coming here to say a few words. Thank you for your part that you played in such a magnificent final, one we will remember forever. But I guess it's hard to take.
I will try to forget. But, no, it was a great match. It was a great match. It was long, it had everything, had my chances, so did he. I thought we played some great tennis, so in a way I have to be very happy with my performance as well. But Novak, it's great. Congratulations, man, that was crazy. Well done.
Can you imagine?
I'd love to say that I'd be the same, Larry.
What's that?
I think there are 37-year-olds around the world thinking, how do you do this? How can you still be playing at your best?
Well, yeah, I hope I give some other people a chance to believe that at 37 it's not over yet. And no, I feel great. You know, I mean, obviously, it's going to take some time to recover physically, too. But no, it's all good, you know. I don't know. I couldn't give more. I gave it all I had, and I still feel all right. I still stand, so it's good. And I wish the same for the other 37-year-olds.
And your family have come out to see you, so it's time to be dad now, I guess.
Excuse me?
Your family has come out to see you. They're so proud of you as well, so I suppose it's time to be dad again now.
Yeah, they won't be excited with the plate, but it's... They'd rather take that golden thing, you know, but no, it's nice to see them. We had a great week here. I love them, and yeah, exactly, back to dad and husband. It's all good. Thank you.
Okay, so there was that. absolutely epic. We do not talk a lot about tennis here on this show or on this station, but there was that. So we had Summer League basketball.
Yep.
We had tennis.
Yep.
And then the third event, and I think you can make an argument this was the most astonishing of them all, was the Angels game Friday night.
Yeah.
Where they were honoring Tyler Skaggs, of course, who recently passed away. And they all wore his number.
It would have been his 28th birthday that day.
It would have been his 28th birthday. His mom threw out the first pitch.
That was tough. Oh.
She hummed it in there, too.
She did.
They all took off their jerseys and put them on the mound and peeled them off to reveal his number underneath. So they're all wearing his jersey number. And then Mike Trout hits a first pitch home run.
It's what the best player in baseball does.
And you're like, okay, well, that's great. That's amazing.
Yeah. That's Mike Trout being amazing.
And then they combine for a no-hitter.
Which is insane.
Which is completely insane. Listen to this. This is from a piece in The Athletic on this. It was just the 11th no-hitter in Angels history. Skaggs wore number 11 at Santa Monica High. The Angels scored 7 runs in the first inning and finished with 13 in a 13-0 win over the Mariners. Skaggs' birthday, again, 7 runs in the first inning, finished with 13. Skaggs' birthday was 7-13. The second combined no-hitter in Angels history was the first combined no-no thrown in California since July 13th, 1991, the day that Tyler Skaggs was born.
It's insane. Like, all those things that if you would have seen that, like, in a movie scene, you'd be like, okay, come on, guys.
Ridiculous. Like, yeah, tone this down. This is sappy. Yes, they would be dismissed as completely sappy. As much as I love the Grizzly Summer League stuff, and we're going to talk to Mike Wallace about that coming up, I think you have to say the other two were the more transporting events.
In some ways, it's
why sports
are awesome.
Is awesome. It totally different reasons, but why sports is awesome. Which of those was? How can you pick? They're different. Awesome for different reasons. The Skaggs thing is totally impossible.
Yeah.
That could not happen. First pitch home run, no hitter on the.
That's impossible.
The other one was a great sporting event, one of the great tennis matches of our time. But the other thing was Tyler Skaggs thing is impossible.
One of my buddies from college, he was actually at the game, and like he's texting us the whole time. He's like, "There's no way this is gonna happen. No way this is gonna happen." And so I'm following along in real time and. I don't know. To me, that transcended just an amazing performance. Right. And there's no question Djokovic and Federer was an amazing performance. Like, there were more shots hit in that, in individual points where I just said, like, holy S, 5 times during, like, how did he hit that shot? How did he hit that shot? Like, and it's an amazing feat, but I've seen that before. The Skaggs thing, when you factor in what the night was and the fact that they were – the fact that they were honoring him, they had the whole family there. Like, I don't know.
If you'd just had the first pitch home run,
yeah.
That might have been, you'd say, okay, that's pretty awesome. How awesome is that?
Right. And then a solid combined pitching performance, you would have said, that was a cool moment. But it was the fact that everything transpired, and I put that as the best moment of the weekend for me.
Just insane. Okay. We're going to talk to Mike Wallace about the Grizzlies when we come back. I do want to tell you, affordable blinds, you'll want to close them today. Today and probably most of this week, as we get drenched, you'll want to close the blinds, but you'll want to have the blinds. You'll say, Alexa, close my blinds, and the blinds will close, and you'll be comfortable in your own home. 753-5822. Chip Wiggins will come out to your home, got a mobile showroom, show you everything they got, whether it's blind shade shutters, beautiful plantation shutters. They've got outside shutters that can transform the look of your home from outside. They've got the new cordless blinds that are just fabulous. They've got the, as I said, the motorized blinds, all of that. Restaurants use them all over town. Businesses use them all over town and homes all over town. The phone number is 753-5822. AffordableBlindsInMemphis.com. Or just do this. Go over to their Affordable Blinds and Shutters Facebook page and you can see what they are all about. We'll be back with Mike Wallace from the Memphis Grizzlies going for a title tonight when we return 92.9 FM ESPN.
Memphis's hometown event is taking on a new identity. World Golf Championship's FedEx St. Jude Invitational makes its debut at TPC Southwind, July 24th through 28th. Don't miss PGA Tour superstars Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, and more.
Join me, Dustin Johnson, when I return to TPC Southwind. Tickets are on sale at WGCFedEx.com.
Buckle up, taste buds. You're about to take an adventure of South of Beale, Memphis's most innovative and trendiest establishment. Check out the new summer menu or nosh on your favorites like General Tso's cauliflower or the duck patty melt. South of Beale has craft cocktails made from the coolest bartenders in the Mid-South, featuring draft brews from local and regional breweries only. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring your taste buds to South of Beale, celebrating 10 years in the South Main Art District. Get started at southofbeale.com.
Did you know nearly 40% of men under 40 and over 75% of men over the age of 40 experience sexual performance concerns? At the Memphis Men's Clinic, their experienced physician performs a comprehensive evaluation that determines which specific issues may interfere with your sexual performance. These issues can vary and range from anxiety to medical issues, low testosterone, or erectile dysfunction. The Memphis Men's Clinic has evaluated hundreds of men of all ages over the years and reestablished a normal sexual life. The Memphis Men's Clinic will work aggressively to resolve issues and allow you to restore your sexual health and overall well-being. That's the Memphis way. If you're 20 years old or 90 years old, come and get cared for the Memphis way. Treatment that's based on your specific needs after a professional clinical evaluation by their experienced board-certified physician. Call the Memphis Men's Clinic today at 901-443-0475 or visit memphismensclinic.com.
There's nothing like meeting face-to-face. And there's nothing like Zoom to make that happen. Zoom lets you connect and do business across town or around the world. Zoom ties together all of your communication needs into one easy platform for video conferencing, phone calls, group chat, webinars, and your conference rooms. Connect easily from anywhere, your mobile phone, your laptop, or conference room. Zoom is how business gets done. Get your free account at Zoom.com today. Meet happy with Zoom.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Mike Wallace. He is the senior editor, contributor to Grind City Media. You can read his stuff over there. Of course, Memphis Grizzlies radio network analyst as well on Twitter at MyMikeCheck. Michael Wallace joins me from Las Vegas, where it is 7:30 in the morning. I want to start by apologizing. It's awfully early, man. Out there. Yeah.
Oh, no, Jeff. No need to apologize, man. I actually had to come back to Memphis for the Grizz Girls finals yesterday. So I feel so much better. Assignment. Yes. I had a finals assignment here last night. So, no, I'm back, man. But obviously, I'm still plugged in and locked into what's going on in Vegas.
I feel so much better now. Tell me, first of all, about the Grizz Girls finals.
Oh, my goodness, man. It started with 32 finalists and trying to whittle that down to a manageable number. I think it was maybe 20 at the end or somewhere around there. It was tough. It was probably one of the toughest assignments that I've ever been involved with, man. But, you know, it's heavy lifting when it comes to, you know, judge and help. Yeah.
Do you get a real vote? Who votes? Who decides?
Last year, I had a real vote in terms of helping to whittle it down to the finalists. This year, I was just serving as the Pete Pranica type. Okay. That did the MC and the hosting and all of those kind of things. So, you know, I was just there to have fun with them once they get into that stage.
Because it is, like, we can joke about it. Mm-hmm. It's heartbreaking for the people who just miss, I presume, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. It was so I was on the stage most of the night. And so when you call out the finalists, they come to the stage and, you know, they get their roses and they're teary-eyed and they're just joyful. I feared having to go backstage after the show to see the ones who didn't make it. I feared that. And I saw a couple of the ladies afterwards, man, and I just, you know, you just want to encourage them. But, yeah, it is so heartbreaking because they put so much into it, and it's such a thin line that separates those who make it and those who don't. For the staffers who had to make the votes, the judges, man, they were torn over it. It took a long time for them to get it down to the group that actually won and will be the Grizz Girls finalists. Man, I love how we're analyzing this, man. It feels like I'm breaking down the team, but I'm breaking down
the
team.
I like the emotion of it. I just think the human emotion of it is got to be something else. Okay, onward to the Grizzlies. They go for the title tonight, and you've got to say, I mean, in terms of the best news here for the Grizzlies, it's Brandon Clark, isn't it? I mean, he was unbelievable again last night. He was really good against Boston the game before. There's a pick that they identified. They obviously got the extra pick. They moved up. They got him in front of Boston. Boston then picked Grant Williams. And, by the way, he outplayed Grant Williams the other night. But he is the story of this summer league, isn't he?
Oh, by far. No question at all. I mean, it's Brandon Clark. It's him being every bit as advertised, at least from a summer league perspective, that you hope for. I mean, this is a front office that identified him early. They knew when they got the 23 that they might not have a chance to get him because they evaluated him as a top 15 talent. But when he was right there on the board, once he hit 20, they had to act fast. And Oklahoma City was in a situation where, as we see, their offseason was going to completely unravel at some point. And to them, they may not have evaluated Brandon to that level, but the Grizzlies didn't want to take any chances. They moved up two spots, got him. He came in. Basically, he didn't come in. He had to wait 2 weeks. Right. Sitting around, not really able to do anything with the team, and you know, just waiting for his turn. So for him to come to Vegas with fresh legs, with the energy, with a bounce, and then you don't really have to scheme a guy like that. You just put him out there and let him be athletic and let him do what he does. And he certainly lived up to every bit of what they expected in the initial stages so far.
What has impressed you about him?
His intelligence, man. Like his IQ. When you sit there, like obviously what you see on the floor, it jumps off the page at you. But then when you talk to him after games, the way he processes games, the way he went in, just the transition he made in a, you know, 24-hour, 48-hour period from getting destroyed on the glass by Boston, you know, when they had those guys that, you know, came out there and beat him with Taco Fall and the Williams brothers, Williams guys in that first game, and then to come back and make some adjustments. Although Robert Williams didn't play as much in that second game, you saw a different Brandon Clark. You saw a guy that, you know, made the adjustments, watched the film, repositioned himself, was a better help defender, and did all the little intricate things better in that second matchup than he did in the first. So for the fact that he's as intelligent as he is athletic when it comes to basketball acumen, that's the one thing that jumps off right now to me in terms of how he processes things on the fly.
Well, I mean, and obviously his athleticism is just crazy. It's unmistakable, eye-popping. You've had a chance to meet him in the sense, and we haven't. What kind of kid is he?
You know, the thing about it is that he's played, you know, 2-3 years in college. So he's an upperclassman. He's a grown man, basically, relative to, you know, some of the young 19-year-olds like Ja and Jaren in terms of just age and physical experience. So, you know, but he's a guy. His story is very unique, man. I remember talking to him at the draft, in addition to talking to him last week.
Yep.
You know, one of the first NBA game he went to, born in Vancouver, was a Vancouver Grizzlies game. You know, his parents took him there when he was one or two, and he said that was the first time that he doesn't remember the game, but being in that environment, you know, he kind of joked with me and said he felt like he was always destined to, you know, be a Grizzly, knowing that he came up that way. Then he moved to Phoenix, pretty much grew up in Phoenix, the Phoenix area. Started off at San Jose State and then transferred over to Gonzaga. So he's a well-traveled guy. You know, like I said, I mean, he's a great guy to talk to in terms of just having a general conversation about basketball or life with, as much as you see in terms of the athleticism. He reminds me of a sort of a mix between an Aaron Gordon and a Sean Marion in terms of how he is athletically on the bounce, going straight vertical, and then being able to have a little awkward jump shot but still being able to make it. So he's somewhere around that layer. Some people have said, I've talked to some NBA people, they said upside is Kenyon Martin along those lines. He would tell you that he tries to pattern his game somewhat after Amari Stoudemire, which is the guy he grew up watching when he was coming up in Phoenix.
Well, I would take Amari Stoudemire. That would be – or Kenyon Martin, for that matter. What do you expect his role will be – and obviously there's a lot to be decided. What do you expect his role will be this year? We know Ja's going to be thrown in there, right? And what do you expect, Brandt, when it comes down to it? He'll be the second team big, I guess. What do you expect – how many minutes?
I think, you know, Thera and Taylor Jenkins still has to figure all of that out. This roster is still very, very fluid right now. Still a lot of things to be settled. But I think going in, when you look at it on the surface, I think he's coming in, as you said, as the first big off the bench. He's probably going to be one of the anchors of that second unit and an energy guy, change of pace guy. Whereas Jaren has some explosiveness with his game. I think, you know, this is a guy, Brandon Clark, who is absolutely a changeup when it comes to how fast and how hard and how much thrust that he plays with on every single play. I think you're going to see he and Jaren play together in that 4-5 mix when they go smaller and faster. But I think he's going to be the first big off the bench at the power forward spot. And if he can stretch his game out with that jumper a little bit more, then you can sort of play him at the 3-4 in that situation a little bit. So he's got the sky's the limit for him. I think you're probably looking at, you know, again, this is just a rough guess, but somewhere between 15 to 24 minutes a game, somewhere in that range right there, depending on foul trouble, because that's the issue with some of these young guys that are talented and uber athletic. We saw it with Jaren Jackson last year. As good as he was, he still led the league in fouls, and that limited some of his effectiveness and some of his ability to stay on the floor. So that's the thing that Brandon has to come into the league and make an adjustment to probably the most.
Talking to Michael Wallace, of course, from Grand City Media, Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network, on Twitter, at @MyMikeCheck. The other theme that it seems to me that's emerging is they're replacing the core four with this new group, and it feels like there is a real spirit developing, a certain cohesiveness. Obviously, that'll be tested during the course of a season. It'll have to be forged during training camp. But just the way that Ja's hanging out there looks, everyone seems to be a part of this. It seems fun, and it seems like Taylor Jenkins is sort of starting to build something, and that they are already coming together in a way that you can only hope will resemble the way that Mark, Mike, Zebo, and Tony once came together. But you get a sense of something being created. Did you get that vibe being out there?
I got that vibe being out there, but I can say this much, Jeff. To me, it started earlier than that. It started when, and you were there as well, when Taylor Jenkins was introduced as coach.
Right.
And the first player that was in the back of the room right there was Jaren Jackson Jr. And what Jaren said was that, listen, I want to get on the same page with this guy from day one, and I want him to know that I'm here to develop. I'm here to make sure that his plan gets implemented. I'm here to sort of be an assistant to help get things on track between our players and the new head coach. And Jaren has been there every single step of the way. And you talk about the leadership that Jaren showed by not only coming to the press conference, because a lot of players do that. But then where did Jaren go a little bit before that? He went to the lottery, you know what I mean, to help represent the team. It was unofficial. He wasn't even supposed to be there, but he wanted to be there when they got the number two pick and stood on that stage alongside, you know, the front office. You know, it was Elliot Perry. It was Zach Kleiman and those guys. Then after that, Jaren went and talked to Ja. Then he went to the draft and was right there with Ja and Brandon Clark and saw those guys. So I think that cohesiveness and that chemistry started with Jaren Jackson Jr. as a 19-year-old, putting himself in the middle of all of these situations to make sure everyone knew, hey, he's going to be fun to be around. This is what we're trying to establish here. And, you know, you talk about leadership. It's tough to be a leader in the NBA when you're 19 years old, but when you're revamping the franchise and you're resetting the roster around youth, you're fortunate to have a guy like Jaren who's brought up the right way. Mother and father are right there, strong pillars to his lifestyle, and you're seeing some of his leadership step up. So when they get to Vegas, it's natural for Ja and Jaren to sort of put on this comic routine that they have there. It's sort of natural for guys to want to come back. You know, we've seen everyone from, you know, Kyle Anderson come in for a game. Jonas Valanciunas came over from Seas to sign his contract. He could have waited to training camp or right before to do that. But he came over to Vegas to make sure all of these guys were together. And then Taylor Jenkins is finding a role for those guys to be able to communicate with their summer league teammates in meaningful situations from the bench. So I think all of that is helping with the implementation of everything that you're seeing with this Grizzlies team. And that's important because we all know when you're young in the NBA, it's hard to win games. But if you have to establish that culture and that foundation, this is the time to do it as the roster sort of comes together. And then you sort of fortify yourself with a difficult learning curve that's going to happen once the games really start.
Taylor Jenkins obviously was really impressive with his first press conference. It was hard not to come away impressed, and with honestly just how good it he seems to be at relationships. The fact that he had 73 people fly in to be with him on that day spoke to that. But what have you noted about him since then?
I've noticed how he implements his process and his plan. I mean, you know, everyone comes in and talks about the pace and space. We've heard that from previous coaches that have taken over here. You know, everyone talks about, you know, being a gritty defensive team and starting on the defensive end first. But then when you see some of the way that he's implementing his offense from a free-flowing system, what I've noticed is, you know, we talked about Brandon Clark. One guy I need to mention as well, look at what Yuta has been able to do from a right. developmental standpoint. He was sort of the star of the first half of summer league play out in Salt Lake City. You know, you saw him sort of take that four position. And you, it's like, and believe me, this is a guy that came from, you know, San Antonio initially, Atlanta, you know, when Atlanta won 60 games, and then Milwaukee last year when they had the best record in the league. So you're seeing some on a smaller scale, you're seeing how he's activating his threes, fours, and fives to all sort of play in that Giannis role. And no one, and believe me, no one on this team is Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that the way that they're able to get the ball on one end, initiate transition offense early on, you're seeing him play with the 20-second shot clock, which means he's not talking about getting down, setting screens, doing all of these things, waiting 20 seconds to take a shot. He's saying, get down, the first available great shot we have, we want to take. And you're seeing the pace increase on the floor out there with the way the Grizzlies are playing. So to be able to get into the 90s and then into the 100s in a 40-minute game, that shows you, number one, the nature of summer league is pretty much wide open. But also, number two, even when the Grizzlies struggle early in the first quarter, they correct themselves in the second quarter and in the second half by making these kind of adjustments to get back to their flow. So his intricate attention to detail right now is something that's jumping off, too, because this is a fluid roster that he's having to work with, and guys have come in and have found their marks early. I mean, Tyler Harvey is a guy that was a sort of forgotten guy with the hustle last year. He's hitting big shot after big shot in every game now. So these guys are feeling confident from 1 through 5, and I think Taylor is sort of implementing that with those guys.
Thoughts on the addition of Tyus Jones?
Smart guy. It's funny how, you know, you replace Mike Conley with a guy who comes in with the same qualities and characteristics as a Mike Conley. And, you know, it did surprise me because, you know, I was out there on the record, I mean, as much as Twitter can be the record,
right.
saying that, you know, they probably would need to go with a older veteran, a cheaper veteran, and use some of that money from the mid-level to address the shooting guard position or another hole there. But they doubled down on one of the most efficient point guards that we have in this league based on per-minute basis. The analytics folks love Tyus Jones. I mean, we've seen that. He doesn't turn the ball over at all. I think he's played 1,500 minutes last year and had 47 total turnovers. I mean, that's a remarkable assist-to-turnover ratio for a guy like that. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He knows who he is. He's come from a championship pedigree. And God dang it, I mean, he's another Dookie on this team right now. So it's almost like the Grizzlies are becoming Duke South. When it comes to the influence there. But it's going to be it's a great signing, and it's a great transitionary guy that's going to help Ja sort of take some of that ball handling pressure off. And I think Tyus can also shift over to the two. He's a bigger point guard at 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", somewhere around there. And he can knock down a reasonable three-point shot too, so you can play those guys together. One of the things that Ja did, as much as remarkable as he was in college, he did have a high turnover ratio. So when you bring him into the NBA, you're going to have a guy right there with him or either right behind him who's going to be able to settle the offense down and get them into the things that they want as well. So that's a perfect complement to what you have right now at the point guard position.
All right, and last question. Again, Dr. Michael Wallace from Garden City Media on Twitter at my mic check. You reported that Ivan Rabb, this was the day when they were going to have to guarantee him. They have mutually agreed to push it off until mid-October, which is, it'll be essentially during the beginning of the exhibition, the preseason. What's behind that? What did you make of that news?
A couple of things are behind that. I don't think the Grizzlies really wanted, you know, it was just one of those situations where this front office inherited that deadline, this newer front office inherited that deadline. I don't think it was one that they were, you know, really comfortable with. Ivan had every opportunity in summer league up until a death in the family a couple of days ago. And frankly, he had some moments, but he didn't overwhelm you with anything dominant. And the Grizzlies didn't want to make a rash decision, number one. Number two, it would have been sort of tough to release a guy in the middle of his bereavement like that. That I don't think that would have sat well. Although it's a profession. I mean, this is a professional right. business. People go through tough times. But on a bigger picture, it gives the Grizzlies another window where they can make some other priorities, some more pressing things happen first. They still got to decide what they're going to do with the Iguodalas and the Dwight Howards and all of those guys, guys who they are on the roster but might not make it to training camp. And so now you push Ivan back to a back burner issue, and you sort of revisit it after he can get through training camp and the early preseason stage, and you'll see where you are with the roster standpoint. You can also give yourself more time if you want to include him in on a trade or something of that nature. So it's more about flexibility, and that's what this front office seems to want to have more so than anything, is future assets and flexibility. And those are the things that have predicated what they've done in every decision that they've made this offseason, including the one they made last night with Ivan Rapp.
Well, it's been fun to watch. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm thrilled I didn't wake you up in Las Vegas, but I appreciate the insight. Thank you.
Hey, when I was in Vegas, I didn't sleep, so you would have never woke me up. But anytime, Jeff. Thanks a lot, guys.
That is Michael Lewis, right. From Giant City Media. I was out at Oak Hall over the weekend picking up some clothes that I had tailored. I'm dressed exclusively Oak Hall today, by the way. That's why I'm looking good. And now I have shirts that are tailored as well. So prepare yourself. Brace yourself for that. But it is the semi-annual sale. So you're walking through there, and it says 70% off, 70% off, 50% off, 70% off. This is the moment, ladies and gentlemen, to get in there to Oak Hall. Also, I saw the big sign for Jake's 10th birthday party. Jake, of course. Yeah, I think this is the only establishment in town that has a Dalmatian. Jake is an unbelievably sweet dog. It is his 10th birthday party, Saturday, July 20th. That is this Saturday from 11 until 3. Go say hi to Jake and pick up some beautiful clothes at a significant discount. But it's the birthday party's from 11 to 3. They got sweet Lala's bakery cookies and cakes. They got sweet Magnolia gelato. And they got Jake, and they got beautiful clothes, and they got great service. It is Oak Hall. Back in a moment, we're going to be joined in just a little bit by Baxter Holmes, who is an NBA writer for ESPN. Also, it is media. It's SEC Media Day, beginning of SEC Media Days, and we're doing rankings every single day. What are we ranking today?
Well, Jeff, today you said that you thought it'd be a brilliant idea. Not only we ranked the jobs of the SEC, as in if you
which
were...
Which is the best job right, to the worst job. We're going to rank the jobs of the SEC and the coaches of the SEC.
Indeed.
We have a whole bunch of rankings during the course of the week.
I'd say with the yellow legal pad, Jeff, I've been making notes. There's a lot of scribbles,
everything. We will be ranking the mascots,
oh, yeah.
The fight songs,
oh, yeah.
The stadiums,
mm-hmm.
The quarterbacks.
Traditions.
The traditions. All of that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Today, we're nuts and bolts show here.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we are going to rank the jobs and the coaches, the current coaches. We'll do that in the second hour. All right, we got to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
A new era in Memphis basketball with Penny Hardaway.
University of Memphis.
The Grizzlies Western Conference Finals.
Believe Memphis, the Memphis Grizzlies are going to the Western Conference Finals.
Now ushering in a new era of youth and grind. Mike Norvell and Tiger football. The SEC and college football. Memphis 901 FC. The Redbirds. A world golf championship celebrating a decade as the number one voice in Memphis sports. This is Memphis's 92.9 FM ESPN.
I have a new favorite dessert in the city. It's Bounty's Key Lime Pie. I don't even tend to love key lime pie, but I love this key lime pie. It's fresh, it's cool, it's tangy, and it's perfect for summer. In fact, Bounty is the perfect place for a memorable summer dinner or brunch. The other day, some friends and I started with the jumbo pan-seared scallops served with sweet corn, house-smoked bacon, and white truffle oil. They were flat-out incredible. We had the fried Gulf oysters because, I'll be honest, I always have the fried Gulf oysters at Bounty, but we also had the pan-roasted summer flounder, the steamed mussels, and the garden ratatouille. Add a glass of white wine at Bounty because of their unique Korovan wine system. All of their wines are available by the glass, and it's the perfect summer meal. The place is beautiful, the service is attentive, and the key lime pie is, I promise you this, the best you've ever had. Bounty is located at 2519 Broad Avenue. Call 901-410-8131 or visit them at bountyonbroad.com to add some joy to your summer days.
Tennessee. Welcome to Save Yourself with Geico.
You say goodbye to somebody.
Okay, bye.
But then, unfortunately, you both walk in the same direction. Oh. You couldn't save yourself from the thick stew of awkward this situation delivers. But you could save yourself hundreds by switching your car insurance to Geico.
Yes.
You could save on motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance, too.
Nice.
Plus, the Geico Insurance Agency could help you save on homeowners and renters insurance.
Oh.
While your choice of walking direction has become your biggest problem, you should know Geico is the second largest auto insurer in the country.
Okay.
Geico even offers 24/7 access to licensed agents and emergency roadside service.
So, weather.
Ah, and now you're resorting to local weather talk. Speaking of, your local Geico agent could help you save even more.
Oh.
You couldn't save yourself from a goodbye, oh, hello situation, but you could save yourself hundreds with Geico online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Down here.
Hey, Amy. Welcome to the Xfinity store.
Why are you hiding?
Cameras and microphones are everywhere, even in my house. What if I'm hacked? They're watching me.
Oh, with Xfinity XFi, you don't have to worry. It gives you enhanced security for your Wi-Fi network, so all your connected devices are protected, including mics and cameras.
Oh, that sounds great. Can you imagine if we were actually being recorded right now?
We are being recorded for this commercial.
Oh, I trusted you.
If it's connected, it's protected with Xfinity XFi. That's simple, easy, awesome. Ask how to get download speeds up to 400 megabits per second, or even faster, up to a gig. Learn more or get started with Xfinity Internet for $20 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. Plus, add XFi Advantage for enhanced network security. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Requires equal bill and auto pay, and 7/15/19. Restrictions apply. New performance starter 25 megabits per second customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary.
Hey, this is Gary Parrish reminding you about Danny Morrison Roofing Professionals. They are local, family-owned and operated business that's been serving the Mid-South's residential and commercial roofing needs since 2010, and they're known as the home of the free roof. They work with all insurance companies, and if you qualify for a new roof, you can get one with no out-of-pocket cost. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. By the way, Danny's looking to hire an additional salesperson, so if you're interested, give him a call, and if you want a free roofing inspection, again, just call 870-0186. That's 901-870-0186. Tell him Gary Parrish told you to call.
I apologize for my behavior in this Walmart grocery pickup commercial because I just got my groceries and I'm hungry. When you pick up groceries this fresh, you just got to eat. Am I right? And I didn't have time to shop in store, so I ordered online when it was convenient and then used free curbside pickup to get these baby carrots brought to me without even leaving my car. No extra charge and freshness guaranteed. Speaking of fresh. Oh, man. Try not to order when you're hungry. Walmart grocery pickup. $30 minimum. Restrictions apply. If you're not happy with your order, contact customer care for a refund.
Morgan & Morgan. Dial #529 on your cell phone. Pound law. That's all.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios. Invested in our communities. Making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Who they want? Jeff Calkins. Who they want? Jeff Calkins. Who they want? Jeff Calkins. Who they want?
Your floors are sinking or sloping a little bit. If you have cracks in the walls of your home, you know what could be going on. You could have a serious problem. It could be a foundation problem. And you want to call Redeemers Group, of course. But more to the point, today and this week, it's pouring out there. It's going to be pouring out there. It's going to be raining a lot. If you're worried about that, you're worried about water coming into your basement, your crawl space, etc., call Redeemers Group. They'll seal it up for you. 541-8765, 541-8765. And the beautiful thing is it will not cost you a single penny to have them come out and look at the problem. This could be the perfect time, by the way, if you got a water issue. You're going to have plenty of water. You'll be able to point to the problem because you can be sure that this week it's going to be raining. And you say, here, look. And the people from Redeemers Group will tell you what was going on. And, again, it will not cost you a single penny to have them out to examine the situation and give you an analysis. If you want to proceed with a repair, mention my name, Jeff Calkins, and you will get $50 off. Phone number again, 541-8765. 541-8765 or on the web, redeemersgroup.com. So Baxter Holmes is going to join us next. Talk a little NBA. And wrote a remarkable two-part series about youth sports that you will want to hear. And the epidemic of injuries. So you'll want to hear that from Baxter Holmes. After that, we're going to get into our ranking of SEC football programs and coaches. But over the weekend, the news came out that Bob Gibson has pancreatic cancer. And that's a gut punch, right? I mean, that's a it's about as bad as it gets, right? The thing you hear about Bob Gibson, like when you think Bob Gibson, what do you think?
Tough and
fierce,
awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome and fierce.
Yes. They changed the mound for him.
Right. It is Bob Gibson is, I don't know, who when you think like, who would you not want to face? Who would you most, of all the great pitchers that there have been in the universe?
Okay. Bob Gibson.
Is Nolan Ryan wild? Would he hit me?
Yeah, he's I mean, anytime you throw that hard, like that's what I'm saying. Like, there's that tier of like Nolan Ryan, Bob Gibson, Randy Johnson, like the guys that just threw so hard and just had like.
What is he, 6'9", 6'7"?
Yeah, I mean,
what was he? What was Randy Johnson?
They listed him at 6'10", but, you know.
6'10"?
Left-handed hitters all of a sudden got the 24-hour flu when he was pitching. So that tells you all you need to know. Like Gibson's in that tier of guys that you just don't want. He was like a spring training instructor for one of my dad's friends who was pitching at the time in the Cardinal organization, and he had the group of pitchers that were with him come up together and say, "Guys, what's the best pitch in baseball?" And you know, everyone's trying to give like a smart answer. Well, you know, a nice arm side tailing, you know,
strike,
something is nope. 95 on the black. And everyone's sitting there going, like, well, what about
nice?
What about 87 89. On the black? not everyone can do that, Mr. Gibson.
Mr. Gibson. And I saw a lot of, if anyone can beat it, he can. Right? You saw a lot of that.
Yes.
And listen, I don't pretend to tell anyone to how they talk about their own cancer diagnosis and treatment, right? Everyone, I've done a lot of stories on people. And some are incredibly happy stories. Julie Clary's happy story is one of my most made me as happy as any story I've ever written. To get the call when her scan was clear after having Mike Clary's daughter, Mike Clary, longtime AD at Rhodes, and Julie Clary had battled breast cancer. See, I say battle. People go through hard things the way they go through hard things. George Lapidus, another one. Like, unbelievable. George was, I visited his home about a week or two before he died. And he was holding forth like he was on the air. It was just, he was lying in bed, propped up, and holding forth about, it was like he was still on the air. He was talking about the time that he sent Donald Trump away because why George was harbor master of like the.
Harbortown, wasn't it? Harbortown Golf Links, I think.
Yeah. And he wouldn't let Donald Trump's yacht come in because it was too long and they didn't have a place for it. So he sent him away and he was reveling in the fact that he had done that. And he was, so I don't pretend to tell people how they should talk about their own challenges. I think the idea that if you're tough, you will beat cancer is a difficult one because so much is luck. So much, it's not having to do with, like, what happens if cancer beats you? Does that mean you weren't tough? I understand that your mindset can matter, but cancer, you can be as tough as you want. You can be as tough as you want. And so to talk about it the way we do as a battle, a fight, or whatever, I understand that if it helps individuals who are going through it to talk about it that way, you should be able to talk about it however you want. There's no question. It's your diagnosis, whatever else. But the rest of us to imply that fierce people win and weak people lose, I think is unfortunate. Lucky people win. The truth of the matter is, I said this on Gary's show the other day, but when I had leukemia as a kid, and they didn't even tell me at first that I had leukemia as a kid. I didn't win because I was tough. I win because I was one of the 2% at the time who made it. Like and you don't think they're tough over there at St. Jude, and some of the tough ones win and some of the tough ones lose. So I don't know. It always strikes me if anyone can beat it, he can. Just strikes me as it's not about your moral fortitude or how good or strong or whatever you are. It's about luck and prayer and science, and that's what it's about. And I hope that the convergence of those or whatever you want to believe in.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.